We took a bus down there, and several people drove down, and it was a blessing to it, it's neat. I mean, you know, we started the church at Bloomfield, but it, you know, that was already an existing church building. They already had all the stuff that they needed. But it was neat going down to Princeton yesterday. Brother Abel was able to go get the chairs and the steeple for the building, and it was neat to, you know, be unloading brand new chairs at a brand new church. You know, people are out there. I mean, there's, I don't know. Do you know how many people actually showed up? 75 people. Not just from our church. Bethel had a group come down. Brother Gerald brought a group from his church. And it's just neat. I mean, you know, 75 people all watching stuff being unloaded. And it was a blessing to see that. And if you're able to, next week, we've got another pretty good-sized town that we've got to cover, Canvas, next week. So anybody can come. You know, it's not super strenuous. Just, you know, you're just putting packets on doors. So come and help us. And I'm sure Brother Isaac would appreciate the help. And I'm pretty sure I'm 95% sure we're taking another bus. So we'll get that all set up for you. So if you can come and help, and if you need to sit on the bus and pass 5 packets out and go sit on the bus for a while, you know, be a part of it. You know, I think it would be a blessing. Not as much, I mean, it'd be a blessing to the risers, but it'll be a blessing to you to be involved. So come be a part of that if all possible. If nothing else, you can just watch the crazy young people run around do packets. So that'll be a blessing. Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to read this chapter this morning. We might read part of chapter 41. These two chapters go hand in hand with each other. And just want to be a blessing to you this morning. Just going to talk about the Lord this morning and the graciousness of God and what he's done for us. So Isaiah chapter 40, we're going to start in verse number 1. The Bible says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. So we already have, start out, God says, this is to comfort you. Okay? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If you would go back, it even says it in the Scofield Bible, but that is mostly referencing John the Baptist coming and preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ coming as a forerunner for Jesus Christ. But in starting verse number 6 and all the way to the end of chapter 41, we're going to see a relationship between our position and God's position. And so let's look at that this morning. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in a scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stalks shall not take root in the earth, and they shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall fail and be faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Father, Lord, this is just a blessing. It's a blessing passage. Chapter 41, if we get to that, Lord, is also along the same lines. And Lord, we just thank you for your greatness. Lord, we recognize our weakness. And this morning, I do want to know that you are the one that gives me life. Lord, you're the ones that enables my lips to move, Lord. And I want to glorify you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would just strengthen the words that I say, Lord, and help us just to realize our position in relation to your position. And Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 41 and chapter 42 is, and if you look, if you have a Scofield, he says it's the greatness of God and the weakness of man. And honestly, that's a very good summarization of chapter 40 and chapter 41. So let's go back in chapter number 40. Let's look at verse number 6. Okay? First thing God shows us is the weakness of man, the frailty of our flesh. You know, Pastor got up here this morning and, you know, what did he talk about? Frailty of flesh. The frailty of flesh. And you know, life is but a vapor. It appeareth for a short time and vanisheth away. And we all, I think the older you get, and me and my wife, our daughter is, she's going into kindergarten this year. And that's hard to believe. I mean, it's like, wow, I got to go to parent orientation tomorrow night at school. My first parent orientation of, what do we say, 17 years. Every year now for 17 years, at least. God gives us more kids, it's going to be another 20 years we got to go through parent orientation. Wow. What a future, you know? Man. But you know what? That 20 years, and if I asked you folks, you'd say, cherish the time that you have now. Because in 20 years, you'll be looking back and say, wow, where did that go? And people tell me, and folks are in here shaking your head, it goes so fast. You know what that is? That's the frailty of flesh. That's the grass. It grows so fast, and then it withers. Isn't it amazing? I mean, we can have a dry summer, and you, if you mow your grass like I do, you know, I hate mowing my own yard. I just do. I can't stand mowing my yard. I mean, I don't get paid at all. All I do is spend money when I mow my yard. I don't get paid for it. So to me, it's just like I want to just go buy some goats, stick them in my yard, and never mow again. But, you know, I mow my yard short. A lot of times I mow my yard short, so I don't have to mow it for a couple weeks. And then, you know, you get a dry spell and your yard dies. You know, and it's all brown. But isn't it amazing how fast it'll come back? It gets a nice shower and it'll just jump. That, you know, grass grows so fast. Your garden, the weeds, it just grows. It's amazing how fast weeds grow. And God says, you know, it grows so fast, but so quickly, so quickly the sun can come and just wither it away. And that's the way our lives are. We see that in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 6. The Bible says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, why shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field." You know, all the good things of life that we enjoy, the blessings that we enjoy, are just like a flower. I think flowers are overrated. Some of you ladies are like, oh. You know, okay, so you go, what's the things that the ladies wear, the corsages? Am I saying it right? I bought you like one corsage, haven't I? I've never bought my wife a corsage. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
It is terrible. But you know what? I'd rather buy, okay, here's my practical reasoning of life. Okay, all you ladies are like, you're a terrible husband. Okay, I would rather go buy, you know, whatever it costs, $20 for a corsage. I don't know what they cost. Okay, well, I'd rather go buy her something that she can, you know, it's going to last her 20 years. Then go buy her a flower that, you know, it looks nice for 2 hours. And then it's gone. You know what I mean? But you know what? The flower withers. It's beautiful. It's beautiful while it lasts. But eventually the flower withereth and it's gone. And that's the way the joys of life are. You know, they're wonderful while they're there. But it's amazing how fast they just disappear. You know, your children, they're a wonderful thing, but it's amazing how fast that they're grown and they're gone. And, you know, on the other hand, enjoy the flowers while they're blooming. Don't take for granted, you know, I said all that, but I go pick my wife flowers. I'll go out and I got this place that ever since I was a young boy, we'd go out and I'd pick my mom daffodils in the spring when the daffodils would come up. And, you know, I'll go pick my wife some flowers sometimes and I'll help my kids. You know, as a young child, the amount of dandelions that you picked for your mother, you know, it's amazing. Or the little flowers that aren't really even a flower. They just kind of have a petal appearance. And you pick them for your mother. But you know what the mother does? She enjoys that. And oftentimes you'll look at the counter or the window above the sink and there'll be, you know, flowers that were there for 2 weeks, and they're all wilted and gone. But you know what a mother enjoys? Just the fact that her child got her some flowers. And that's probably why my wife really would like me to get her a corsage, and I just haven't done it yet. Just the thought of getting her a corsage. So I just told on myself this morning. I'm a terrible husband. But it is. It's something, you know, and in all that, enjoy the things of life while you have them. If you still got good health, enjoy the good health that you've got, because a lot of people don't have that health. Enjoy the aspects of life. Enjoy, if you've got grandkids, enjoy your grandkids, because there'll be a time that you won't be able to enjoy them like you can now. So enjoy your grandkids, enjoy your children, enjoy the things that we do here at church. You know, if we have a church thing, Go be a part of it. Enjoy those things, because it's like a flower. It blooms, and once it's gone, that flower will never exist again. It's gone. It's done. So enjoy it. You know, there's certain flowers. These knockout roses are really an amazing plant. You know, most flowers that are out there, most breeds of flowers, they bloom once a year. Pretty much, a lot of them, and then they're gone. But you know, I mean, it's amazing, these flowers, they bloom over and over and over again. They have go through cycles, and they're beautiful. Enjoy, and I just want to say, enjoy the things of life while you've got them to enjoy, because they'll be gone so fast, and then they're not there to enjoy anymore. But the brevity of life, the weakness of life. Verse 7, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." And you know, the one thing that we always can hold to is God. God's the one, something that is not like a flower that fadeth. It's not a good thing in life that goes away. God's always there for us, and that's a blessing. Look at verse number 11 with me. Bible says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's a great leadership principle here. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. I've never been around sheep before. That's one thing me and Brother Ali were talking the other day. There's a lot of things in life I would like to go experience. Not necessarily because I want to do it as a living, but just so I have the knowledge and be able to experience that. But I always thought it'd be cool to go tend sheep or watch a true shepherd with his sheep. Because you know how many times in the Bible God references a shepherd with sheep? Now there's different, you know, I wouldn't call Brother Tommy a turkey shepherd, okay? That's just not a, you know, we don't really have, there's not a whole lot of, if you deal with turkeys a lot, and I've done, my life hasn't been involved like his, but I've done it some. There's not a lot of compassion that goes with the turkey farming aspect, okay? It's not like a shepherd, you know, you don't hold the, I have the deals, I worked with the deals some. And they wanted you, and you know, they didn't drag their turkeys through the barn. They wanted you to pick them up and carry them through the barn so you wouldn't hurt the turkey. That's not me, okay? If they don't get out of my way, I forcibly move them out of my way. So that's not, I don't think that's really quite the same concept here as, you know. But I have worked with guys. In fact, I tore down a barn Thursday and Friday with the excavator and for my old boss Terry, and he has cows, and he's got every one of his cows, he's got 70 or he's got more than that now, I think, but every one of his cows, not his calves, but every one of his cows, he's got names for them, and he can point to a cow and he can name it, and he'll go up to them and he'll call them, they'll come up to him and he'll scratch their backs, and he's got these, you know, huge bulls, you know, 2,000 pound bulls. And they'll come up to him, and he'll just scratch their back, and they'll rub up against him. And you know, the other day, I seen him. I was tearing the barn down, and I seen him. He jumped in his Ranger, his mule thing, UTV, and he took off across the field. I'm like, where's he going? And so we got done with what we was doing. We come around the barn, and, I mean, he's covered in mud. I mean, nasty, mucky mud. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I had a cow that got down in a hole and it rolled over. Well, cows kind of, once they roll over past center, they really can't hardly get back up very well. And she was rolled halfway down into this mud pit, basically. So he had to get down in there, and he put a halter on her and hooked it onto the Ranger and pulled her out of the mud pit. You know, I kind of got thinking about that when I read that this morning or this week, and then the Lord kind of put that in my mind. You know, it's, you know, remember how David said, he had pulled me out of a miry pit and set my feet upon a rock. You know, and I don't know if David was, as a shepherd, if he was referencing, hey, I've had sheep get down in a miry pit, and I've had to, they couldn't get out. They were stuck. And I had to take that sheep, and I had to pull them up and put them up on solid ground. And I got thinking about that. You know, God's a good shepherd to us. We could go to Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. You know, God's a good shepherd. He never will let you, as one of his sheep, he'll never let something come to you that is not to help you and to not to make you better. You know, the shepherd, where did the, you know, if we go, let's go over there. Psalm chapter 23. If I start quoting it, because I'm up here in front of everybody, I'll get it wrong. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, even in times of life, when you think, well, I'm even in death, I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, the shepherd is still there with you. And he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And that's a comfort. That's a comfort to know that God is there. God is there for us, and God has something special for us. and shall gently lead though he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. He shall gently lead those that are with young. I've watched this there go. I go back to Terry. You know, I mean, you can herd cows for the most part. You can push them and you can herd them, but a cow won't go anywhere without its young one. They're hard to move if that young one is back there bawling. And you know what he says? He's like, I'm gonna lead you, but I'm not gonna let your children stay behind. I want to take your children with you. And God's good about that. And you know what? I'm gonna say this: our pastor is good about that. I said this is a leadership principle, and I think our pastor does this. You know what? The lambs would be our young people. He carries them along in his arm. He shelters them. He protects them. The young couples that have children. You know what he does? You know he's out there right now. He's leading them along with their young. He's training. You know, he's training them to be the good parents and stuff. So I think our pastor has exemplified this. Verse number 12. We're just look here at the greatness of God. Verse number 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord or being his counselor hath taught him? And we can go through here. Behold, verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Talks about Lebanon. If you know anything about Lebanon, Lebanon was famous for its trees. And then he says, it's nothing for it to burn. Oh, that's nothing to him. You know what? We first see Isaiah. He says, you know what people are? You know what mankind is? We're as the grass that so quickly it fadeth away and it dies. And, you know, you cut grass. If you guys are going to cut hay, I mean, within just hours, it starts to dry. It's dead. It's gone. And but then we see here the relationship of God and how great God is and how wonderful he is. And we see that down through verse number 17. Now look at verse number 18. This is interesting. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? He's like, what are you trying to compare God to? And I think that's a good question that we need to ask ourselves. What are you trying to compare God to? Or if I could this morning, what are we trying to replace God with? Because that's what he's basically saying here. What are you trying to replace God with? Are you sure? What are you talking about, Brother Chad? Look at verse 19. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. What does man from the very beginning have always tried to do? They've tried to make a god with their own hands. The God that rules the universe, the God that has created everything. You know, you go back to ancient Greek mythology, they had a god for everything. I mean, you know, the god of the wind, god of the sun, god of the rain. They had a god for everything. And they fashioned that god to be what they wanted that god to be. Well, that's not what God is. And you can't create something with your hands that God is, okay? God wants you to worship. You know, people want something that they can see, something visible, something tangible. Well, if you can see something, it's not by faith. You know, if we saw God, I was talking to a young man the other day. He's like, I just wanted God to show himself real. And he wasn't talking about the work of God. Like, he was like, I wanted to see the supernatural. Quite honestly, if we saw the supernatural, it would scare us to death. But he was like, I just wanted to, and he was like, and I told him, I said, you know, that's what the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he wanted basically an evidence of God. He wanted Abraham to go back to his brothers. And what did Jesus tell him? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe him. And we try as Christians and as the world, we've tried to create a little God in our lives that we can, we have this that we're going to worship. And it's so true in our lives that if we're not careful that we, with our hands, it could be whatever. I mean, it could be your child, it could be your work, it could be anything. but the work of our hands becomes a God in our lives. And I wrote this down. A good Christian life is one that is lived with a proper understanding of our position in relation to God's position. A good Christian life is a life that is lived with a proper understanding of our position in relation to God's position. Otherwise, our weakness in relation to God's greatness. If you keep those two things in the proper place, I think you can live a balanced Christian life. Well, how do you get out of balance in your life? When God either becomes smaller in our eyes or we become bigger in our eyes, things are way out of kilter. It's way out of kilter. And if we're not careful, it's so easy to, I know in my life, it's so easy to let, you know, the things of life take the place of God. But if I put God first, what's the first commandment? What's the first commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy might. That's the first commandment. The second commandment, like Jesus said, the great two commandments, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, and the first one, honestly, listen, the first one is a proper relation, proper view of God's greatness. The second one is a proper view of our weakness. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Hey, put your neighbor first, and you won't have human conflict. And that pretty much solves the world's problems. Those two things. If you love God the way you're supposed to, and we treat people the way we would want to be treated, you could pretty much solve the world's problems. If you don't like being cheated, don't cheat people. Okay? If you don't like somebody being mean to you, don't be mean to somebody. And it would solve the world's problems. There we go. You've got the solution to the world's problems this morning in Sunday school. Now, it sounds easy, but it's hard to live. But as Christians, we need to live that way. So we need to make sure that we don't try to make God a work of our hands. Adam and Eve tried to do that. You know, basically they made themselves clothing when all that could save their sin was the grace of God. They made themselves fig leaves, and it took the sacrifice to take away their sins. So we see that there. Verse number 22, this is kind of a side thing, but I want you to see that. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heaven as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. This has really nothing to do with our lesson this morning, but I just wanted to notice this verse. Do you know what it said? It is he that sitteth upon the what? Circle of the earth. You know how many years that humans thought that the world was flat? That was flat? They thought that if they sailed too far that they were going to sail off the end of the world. They didn't realize that the world was a circle. And the Bible tells us that he is the one that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. So just kind of aside, you know, the Bible proves science, or science proves the Bible to be right, not the Bible proving science. I think I said that right. But, you know, God has science. God created science. So there's nothing that scientists can come up with that God didn't already know. So that's just kind of a blessing. Then verse number 23 through 25, we see the frailty, and we got to hurry through this. We see the frailty of man. But then we're going to jump down, and I want to go all the way down to verse number 29. Bible says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I want to ask you this question this morning. What do you need from God? What do you need from God? In chapter 41, verse number 17. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree, and the pine, and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Do you know when you can get a fresh vision of God? When you can really know that God has done something in your life is when you really need God to do something in your life. What does the Bible say? When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, then I. Why? That they may know that I am God. And isn't that a blessing that when you need something, we can go back to, and I jumped over there, but you know, when you need strength, verse number 29 of chapter 40, when you need strength, when you feel faint, you know what the Bible says? He giveth power to the faint. When you don't have any might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Hey, you know that? That's true. Now, I get tired. I was tired yesterday. I had Brother Sean West with me. We went and put packets on doors, and we got done, and we sitting down, and he's like, "Man, I was out of shape." And I'm like, "You and me both." I was like, "Man, I'm beat. My legs are sore this morning." And you know what? Young guys can run out of strength too. And God can give us strength. God can give you strength. Brother Chad, I can't do what I used to do. Ask God for strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And then the verse that most people know, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever seen an eagle? I mean, it's just the power that an eagle has, the thrust that they have to get off the ground. I've seen up close, for various reasons, buzzards, and they're huge. I mean, their wingspans are massive. And you think, how in the world does that thing get off the ground? Have you ever seen a turkey, a wild turkey, try to fly? I mean, that's a big bird, 20 pounds, 25 pounds for a big wild turkey. And their wings just, I mean, it sounds like, and they can't fly very far. They get tired, but they're not an eagle. They're not an eagle. They can fly enough to get out of trouble, but an eagle, he can fly, and that's where he is most magnificent, is when he's flying. And you know, the one that gives him the strength is God, and the one that can give you the strength to maybe be the most magnificent in your life is God. And God can give you that strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Just to run and go, 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 and not get tired. Yeah. Everybody makes fun of me. I mean, I sit down. If I'm not doing something, I sit down. I'm like an older person, I guess. I sit down, I go to sleep. I do. I mean, if I sit down and I could be any type. This afternoon, I'll sit down before lunch. I about guarantee you, I will almost fall asleep before lunch this afternoon. It happens every Sunday afternoon. To run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. And who can give you that strength? I can't. The God of humanism, the God of, you know, that we worship in America, of physical fitness. You know what? They still get tired. They still wear out. And, you know, honestly, the people that are most physically fit, you know, these bodybuilders that everybody's, well, this huge bodybuilder. You know what they, have you ever seen one that's like 70, 75 years old? Not a good thing. I mean, it's bad. But you know what? That your flesh will fail like the grass. The great things in life are going to fade like a flower. But they that wait upon the Lord, that wait upon the Lord, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So wait on the Lord, and he will give you strength. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you just for the blessing, the encouragement that these chapters are. Thank you for, as human beings, when we're poor and we're needy and we're thirsty and we need water and there is none, Lord, that it is at those moments in our life that you can show yourself strong, and in those moments of our life that you can just provide a river in the desert. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the you know, when we need the shade, Lord, that you provide the tree in the desert. And when we just need that extra strength to mount up with wings as eagles, Lord, thank you for that. And help us to wait on you. Help us to be patient for you. Help us enjoy the things of life while they're there. I think we could go to Ecclesiastes and see that Solomon even emphasized that, hey, enjoy life while you have it. And Lord, thank you for that. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for these good people here. Just thank you for the blessing that they are to me. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.